It is so very good to see all of you back again this evening. This evening is actually a continuation of what we studied from the sermon this morning. In the sermon this morning, we were studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, studying about the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. In our sermon this evening, we're going to be studying the results, the ramifications, the consequences for you and I, the benefits for you and I of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And where we need to start tonight is actually over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. In the text here, it is explaining the reality of the world in which we live. There was death in the world before you and I ever got here. And this is our generation that we are alive on this planet. This text here is trying to explain to us how our planet, how our world came to be what it is. It all started back in the Garden of Eden. And it is a real story. It's not a myth. This is a real story. And there was temptation of Eve. And she did partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she did encourage her husband Adam to do so. And as a result of this sin, sin entered into the world and death through sin. But then it says that death spread upon all men because all sinned. How long was it that you were in this world that you figured out the reality of death? I was a young boy. I've told you all the story I know numerous times. My grandmother's. And it seemed the older I got, the more conscious I became of it, especially when it was someone dear and near to me, a close friend. And as I've got older and older and older, I've become extremely conscious of death. And as a preacher who does funerals a lot of times, I'm extremely conscious of death. And when your mother and your father die, you become extremely conscious of death. And it's something I've come to realize. Everybody I know, everybody I love, every one of you that I'm looking at right, including right now, including your children, they're going to die. Even the babies. Sometime we're going to die. When, we don't know, but we know they're going to die. Ecclesiastes says about this reality in chapter 8 and verse 8, no one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. No one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war. And wickedness will not be delivered, deliver those who are given to it. This is a simple reality. You can't escape death. You haven't got the power to stop it. Regardless, as I said last week, of how much you exercise, how good you eat, and how many doctors you go to, you're still going to die. It's put this way over in the Hebrew text, chapter 9 and verse 21. And it's appointed for men once to die, after this, the judgment. That is the reality of the world. Now, you may not like that reality, and it's something sometimes we like to take and stuff away in a closet and not think about it. But you cannot make death go away just because you don't want to face up to it. And you cannot make judgment go away just because it may scare you. You and I, every one of us, and everyone you know and love, we're going to die. I think it's important to face that reality, so that you can come to understand and appreciate Christ's crucifixion, Christ's burial, and ultimately Christ's resurrection and ascension. Because that's what it's all about. The reason Christ came and died is because of our sin that was spoken of back here in Romans, that sin that we've all participated in, that sin that separates us from God. That was the purpose of the crucifixion, the sacrifice for sins. But that is not where the gospel ends. After he died for our sins, he was buried. And as we're going to be seeing here, he did indeed rise from the dead. We studied this morning from Matthew 28, 5 through 7. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. The fact of the matter, it's 3 days after Jesus was crucified and buried, the tomb was empty. If his enemies wanted to end Christianity, I mean stop it dead in its tracks, all they ever had to do was produce the body of Jesus. All they ever had to do. The disciples did not steal it, as we talked about this morning, the lie that was propagated by the Sanhedrin. The reason the tomb was empty is because of exactly what the angel said here, He is risen from the dead. That is the whole point of the witnesses of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that is the whole point of what we read in the text this morning from 1 Corinthians 15. I want to go back to it and I want to break it down again. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. When he's talking about according to the Scriptures, that is the fulfillment of the prophecies about what the Christ was going to do, whether it be Psalms 22, Isaiah 53, or the multitudes of prophecies and Scriptures in the Old Testament that were foretelling the death of the Christ on the cross. He goes on, he says in verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The resurrection of the Christ was also prophesied about numerous times in the Old Testament. And he goes on further after he talks about the Scriptures here, and he says in verse 5, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. And that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, by all of the apostles, and then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. Now look at this. Notice what I've underlined here. He was seen, he was seen, he was seen, he was seen. We're dealing here again with witnesses. 500 of them at one point in time. All of these people are witnesses to the fact that Jesus was alive after he was put to death. He rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians puts it this way in chapter 15, 20 through 21. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. So here we have this assurance in Corinthians. Christ has indeed risen from the dead. We do not have a dead living hope. It is a real living hope. You see, over in Corinthians, the idea is, what if Christ didn't rise from the dead? Then you have a dead hope. It's no hope at all. But we have a living, real hope. Christ has risen from the dead. He is the first fruits of those to rise from the dead. And this is something we're going to be talking about here, because He's the first one, and the idea is there's going to be more coming. He's the one who paved the way and opened the door and made it possible for resurrection to take place for you and I. Since by man came death, we read about earlier, Adam and Eve. Also by man came the resurrection of the dead. Our rising from the dead is going to be as a consequence, a result, a benefit, a blessing of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Now, a verse we looked at this morning, I want to go back to in 2 Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Ultimately, we have to come down to a conclusion and a decision about the Gospels. Are they telling us the truth? Or is it just a big hoax? Either Jesus really is the Son of God or He is not. Wouldn't you all agree with that? There's no other options on that. Either He was crucified for our sins or He was not. Either He rose from the dead or He did not. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is either the biggest conglomeration of hoaxes and lies that's ever been pushed on the world, or it's the truth. Those of us who are Christians have read it, and we've read the Old Testament Scriptures that prophesied about these events. And we come to the conclusion that what we're reading about here is actually the fulfillment of these prophecies and these Scriptures that foretold the death of the Christ and the burial and the resurrection of the Christ in great detail. They prophesied about the events that happened with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And we read about these miracles and the virgin birth. We read about the resurrection and we believe it's the truth. Not a cunningly devised fable, but the truth revealed to us by eyewitnesses who are telling us what they saw with their own eyes, what they heard with their own ears, and what they handled with their own hands. This is the truth of the ministry, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. And once we are armed with that truth, this is where it leads us. John chapter 20, a verse we looked at this morning. It says in verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. That's talking about you. That's talking about me. We didn't see. Thomas was allowed a great honor. He saw the risen Christ with his own eyes. If he wanted to, he could have put his finger in the prints where the nails were. If he wanted to, he could have thrust his hand up in the side where the spear was thrust. He was allowed that honor. We are not. We have to come to this point by faith. We walk and live by faith, not by sight. And yet it is not a blind leap of faith. It is a faith based in testimony of eyewitnesses and confidence that it is not a cunningly devised fable, as many will try to tell you that it is. But that it is the truth. And once you come to realize he really did walk on the water, he really did heal people, he really did feed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and a few fishes, he really raised Lazarus from the dead, and he himself really rose from the dead. The way the Roman letter puts it in chapter 1 and verse 4 is that the resurrection declares him to be the Son of God. It is the ultimate miracle, confirming that he is the Christ. We have not seen, and yet we believe. That's who Christ is talking about. Christianity and the way it was going to be in the future was going to be as a consequence of the witnesses recording what they saw, heard, and handled, and individuals believing that testimony. Romans says over in chapter 8, verses 9 through 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, let's just stop right there. I want you to realize there's two things here. One, you're confessing with your mouth who Jesus is, that he is the Lord, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. But it doesn't stop there. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It gets down to who he is and what he did and what actually happened to him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is at the very heart, is at the very core of every Christian's faith and life. It appalls me when I see people out in the world who wear the name of Christ and have the audacity to call themselves Christians, and yet they don't believe in the virgin birth, they don't believe in the resurrection. Let me tell you, folks, you don't believe in the virgin birth, you don't believe Jesus is the Christ, you don't believe in the resurrection, you ain't got nothing to do with Christianity. You are not a Christian, you're not even close. Because you have to recognize he is the Lord. And you've got to be willing to confess it with your mouth when you do believe it. And you have to know and believe the resurrection is real and it happened to Jesus. And he's the first fruits. Because if you don't believe this, then whatever kind of religion that you may hold to that you call Christianity is absolutely empty. This is the heart and the core of our faith. And to let go of it, you have let go of everything. Continuing over in John. Now chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now let's just again stop and look at this. Jesus here is talking about who he is. He's the resurrection and the life, but then he makes a comment. You believe in him. There's that faith again. Even though you're going to die physically, he says, you're going to live. You are going to live. You are ultimately going to conquer death itself. And he goes on further and he says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. But notice how he concludes his statement here by saying, do you believe this? Those of us that are Christians give a resounding yes. We believe this. We believe we are going to conquer death itself, spiritual death and physical death, ultimately, through Jesus Christ. The way in which we overcome our sins and are forgiven of our sins is through Jesus Christ and our faith in Him and our obedience by that faith. And the way we're even going to overcome physical death ultimately is through Jesus Christ and that faith in Him and obedience by faith. Now then, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 14. This verse is very dear and near to me. I have probably used it in every funeral I've ever spoken at. But you want me to tell you when it became the dearest and the nearest to me? When it was my father's funeral and my mother's funeral that I spoke at. Then these verses became precious. Very special to me. For I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And then he goes on further in verse 14. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Notice verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So again, as I tried to point out to you, this is the very heart and the very core of our relationship with God and our faith. Is what we believe about the death, burial, and resurrection. And it is by knowing and believing that Jesus did indeed die for my sins and for the sins of my mother and father and all my loved ones who have died in Christ. That Jesus died and rose from the dead gives us a real hope. It is not a pie in the sky, dead hope. It is a living, real hope. Going over to 1 Peter about this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again, notice this, to a living hope. It's real. It's not fake. It's not a mirage. It's real. Living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I believe everyone who is in Christ and who has died in Christ will be with the Lord. The Scriptures teach that. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Those who die in Christ will be with the Lord. And it is because of this we have a living hope. That's what was talked about back there in Thessalonians when it says you don't need to sorrow as others who have no hope. The big distinction, the big differentiation between Christians and non-Christians is we got hope. Real hope. Living hope. I know where they've gone and I can go there. And there's going to be a resurrection. Everyone you love and everyone you know that has died in Christ and everyone you know that will die in Christ, we're going to be together. Because the resurrection is coming, folks. It's coming as sure as I'm standing here. Going over now to Hebrews 6 and 9. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. This hope we have here, it's sure, steadfast, the anchor for the soul, living hope. It's real. I like the way Clark put it one time, and that is the anchor is up there in heaven. And we're going there. That's where we're going. Heaven is real, folks. Being with God is where we're going. And there's not going to be any death there. And there's not going to be any sorrow there. And there's not going to be pain there. And it's not just a myth that we say at funerals to make people who have lost loved ones feel better. It's the truth. The resurrection of Christ did happen. And because it did happen, He has conquered death. He has conquered the one who had the power over death, Satan. And He has freed you and I from the bondage that mankind did have to Satan, sin, and death. and He has made it possible for us and other loved ones who die in Christ to ultimately rise from the dead to be with the Lord in heaven. Going over to 1 Corinthians 15, again, I don't think there's ever been a funeral that I've spoken at that I haven't gone to 1 Corinthians 15 sometime. 1 Corinthians 15 is the text that allows us to look into the future. This is what is coming in your existence, in your future. Let this sink in. This is you, folks. So is also the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Folks, what the spiritual body is going to be like, this is what I can tell you about it. It's going to be incorruptible, it's going to be glorious, and it's going to be powerful. It is raised in power, it is raised in glory, it is raised in incorruption. And that's about all I know about it. I think that's where I need to stop. What I'm going to look like, I hadn't got a clue. But I know it's raised in incorruption, raised in glory, and raised in power. He tells me there's a natural body. This is what you see right now, my natural body. This is not what's going to be in heaven. It's temporary. You have coming in your future the reception of your spiritual body that will be given to you at the resurrection. Going over to the text in 1 Thessalonians now, chapter 4, 15 through 18. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. This is what's going to happen. Again, through the Scriptures, we're allowed the blessing through the eyes of faith to look down to the future and see what's coming. The Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven. And He says here in the close of verse 16, the dead in Christ will rise first. That is why it's so imperative that you get in Christ and live in Christ and die in Christ. Because it is the dead in Christ that will rise first. Going over back to now the text here, it says in verse 17 and following, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This part of the Scriptures of the Word of God was given specifically for the time when you have loved ones die in the Lord. And the whole point is, you've got hope. Real hope, living hope, steadfast, sure hope, the anchor of your soul. The resurrection's coming. The loved ones who have died in the Lord, they will rise first. Those who are in Christ will rise first. And if anyone's still alive, well, you're going to be changed too. We're going to be seeing that in 1 Corinthians 15. But we're going to all be caught up together. Notice the phrase, together. We're going to be together again. All who are in the Lord and die in the Lord will be together again. That is why it's so important. If you've got anyone who died in the Lord, you make sure you get in the Lord by obeying the gospel and stay in the Lord by living His word by faith. You die in Christ. You finish the race in Christ. Because it is by this, when the Lord comes again, that we'll be all caught up together with Him in the clouds. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And folks, that is what it is all about. This is not a pie in the sky. This is the truth of what's coming in our future if we remain in Christ and finish the race in Christ. Now going over to 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. I want to stop right there. I got to look out in the audience for a while. All right, thank you, Scholar. You were the first one. I was waiting for somebody to blink. Whoever blinked first was going to be called on. Because that's how quickly we're going to be changed. When he says in the twinkling of an eye, that's how quickly it's going to be. That quick. You're going to be changed. The resurrection is going to take place, and you are going to receive the spiritual body. Getting back to the text and continuing reading, he says, "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on corruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." It is coming. What he's describing there again is the spiritual body being received. You're changing, and you're receiving the spiritual body. That's why the chapter closes, verse 57, by saying, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The victory he's talking about here is the victory over death, the victory over sin, the victory over Satan. That is the reality of the world we live in. Death is real. But just as real as death is, the resurrection is real. And we will have the victory over death. Yes, I told you earlier, everyone you know and everyone you love is going to die, but everyone you know and everyone you love is going to rise from the dead. The question is, to what end are they going to rise from the dead? Acts 24 says in verse 15, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." You see, folks, it's not just the just that are going to rise from the dead. The unjust are going to rise from the dead as well. Through man came death, through man came the resurrection of the dead. Everyone's going to rise from the dead. The question is, to what end are you going to rise from the dead? John says in chapter 5, 29 and 30, "And come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." That is why, while you and I still have opportunity, we need to get into Christ as quickly as we can by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is how you get into Christ. You're all children of God or sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That's how you get into Christ. And the way you stay in Christ is by following Him by faith all the days of your life. You live by faith all the way to the close of the race. And you die in the Lord. And when the resurrection takes place, and it is coming, is the point when a man wants to die, and after that the judgment, and the day of judgment is the same day as the resurrection. You're either going to be raised to eternal life, or you're going to have the resurrection of condemnation. Putting it another way, you're either going to go to heaven or hell. There is no limbo. There is no purgatory. There is no in-between. Now, that's reality. You can reject it, and it's not going to change it. What I'd like to encourage you to do is believe reality and live in reality. In the reality of death, but also in the reality of the resurrection. And come to know and believe the way to the resurrection of eternal life. That is what Christianity is all about. That is why the Christ had to come in the form of flesh and blood and die on the cross at Calvary, so our sins that were separating us from God could be forgiven. That is why He had to be buried and rise from the dead, so that He could conquer death and the one who has the power over death, that being Satan, and then free us from bondage to Satan, sin, and death, and make it possible for you and I to rise from the dead in the future ourselves. Yes, I'm going to have a funeral. If you happen to be alive when it comes and you know that I have died in the Lord, be happy for me. Because I'm looking to the future. When the resurrection takes place, when I receive my spiritual body, and when I hear from my Lord and my God, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your rest." And when I see my God and my Creator for the first time face to face, And when I am in the presence of my Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me, first time face to face, it's coming. And I can't wait. To get there, though, I got to finish the race in Christ, die in the Lord. For you to get there, you got to get in the Lord and die in the Lord. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, and you do believe that Jesus is the Christ, you do believe He's the Lord, you do believe that He was crucified for your sins, you do believe He rose from the dead, good. Now confess it, if you read about earlier over in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. Now confess your faith and motivated by your faith, repent of your sins. Motivated by your faith, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And then as a child of God, live and walk by faith all the days of your life and die in the Lord. All we can do while we are alive now is prepare for what the Lord tells us is coming. And hopefully we will all have the victory in Christ. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.